If it's on your mind...
Would you like me to seduce you?
Let's talk about it.
Is that what you're trying to tell me?
The Talk of the Town with Mark Piersma. Phone lines are open. Call Mark at 624-0870. Let your voice be heard. And now, back to Mark Piersma.
It was insane, that's for sure. Welcome back, welcome back. I thank you for allowing me to take that quick bathroom break. I had to do it. I only consume about a pot and a half of coffee in here in the morning. It's a problem. It's a major problem that I have with coffee. But the biggest problem is that I don't drink anything else the rest of the day. It's coffee. That's it. No water, no soda, no anything until like I eat at night.
You might want to change that habit, Mark.
That's why that doctor goes, well, now wonder you wonder why you have kidney stones because you don't take any fluid in. I said, yeah, I know. So he yelled at me about that. I still haven't learned my lesson. And that was like 2 years ago. So I feel dehydrated all the time. But I don't like drinking, just to drink.
Well, coffee is a diuretic, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So that doesn't help either.
There you go.
So I'm always running around here. Robert Sullivan is in the studio. How are you?
Very good, Mark. Thank you for inviting me.
Well, it's... I jumped at the opportunity because what you wrote a big article in the Utica Phoenix.
Yes, I did.
Titled Decisions. And it took some shots, I thought, at the mayor. And it's surprising because you were in his administration since the beginning.
Correct.
So this isn't some outside, blogger or something like that giving a firsthand account what's going on. You were actually there.
Yes, and just to go back for a minute, when I decided I decided to write the article, really based on the fact that he decided not to run again, and I think that really the story needed to be told. There's been a lot of rumor going on about the termination of myself and my sister Linda Fittata and Codes Commissioner Rob Palmieri. And it's been kind of one-sided. It's, the administration, city hall, city employees kind of backstroking and talking about, speculating on what the reasons were and what's going on. So I thought it was time to set the record straight.
So what was the motivation behind the firing?
What has the motivation been behind any of the decisions that have come out of that office in the past 3 years? Who knows? I think that the tone of the entire 3 years I was there was that decisions were just made in a vacuum.
Mm-hmm.
There was no real, there has never been any kind of real dialogue or real kind of interaction between the mayor's office, department heads, staff. Everything was kind of just hit or miss, which is unfortunate because there's been a lot of good things that have happened.
Mm-hmm.
As I pointed out in the article, this was not an administration that was destined to fail. This was an administration that really in year one had it down and really kind of figured out where it was going to go, and just in years two and three kind of lost it.
Let's talk about the Dan LaBella appointment.
Right.
That was a highly controversial issue when it came up, and I remember covering the story.
Right.
It was a lot of, you didn't get a lot of certain answers, or a lot of kind of, at the time, was a lot of runaround, it seemed like.
Well, I mean, at the time, nobody really knew. As I pointed out in the article, I mean, usually the police and fire department promotions, have a lot of pomp and circumstance.
Oh, sure, absolutely.
You got the entire common council chambers filled with people.
Mm-hmm.
You got sheet cakes. I mean, you look downstairs every couple of months, there's a sheet cake
right
in the middle of the lobby. You know someone's getting promoted.
Yeah.
So it was quite surprising and, kind of a head-scratching moment when at about 3 o'clock on a Tuesday or Wednesday, mm-hmm, I can't really remember the day of the week, we looked into the mayor's conference room, and there it was jammed with...
It was filled.
You were there.
Yeah, it was filled.
Filled with people.
And it was hot.
Police officers. It was 1,000 degrees.
Yeah.
And I said, made the casual observation, what's going on? And they said, well, the mayor is appointing Danny LaBella as police chief. And I kind of thought to myself, as an inside, you know, staff members, right, department head, you would have thought that at least it would have come up at a staff meeting. Nothing had ever been discussed, which is the mayor's prerogative. I'm not saying he should have cleared it. But the administration started out with a real roundtable feel. You know, everyone kind of throwing ideas around, talking yeah. about the ramifications of decisions. And this just came out of left field. And you know, even though I was kind of, you know, taken aback by it, I didn't have any strong feelings pro or con on the appointment of Dan LaBella. Didn't really know the guy. Knew he had been in the police department forever. So I figure, you know, it's the mayor's prerogative. It's his
right.
decision.
Yep.
You know, it's kind of weird the way it's been handed out and you know, 11th hour upstairs secretively
right.
almost. But, you know, who knew the firestorm of controversy that would follow?
Yeah.
We could have never foretold.
How would you have handled it different, being in with the with, you know, the regime, if you would?
Well, I as I think about it, you know, remember back to the beginning days of the Raffaro administration, there was all that kind of controversial Al Pileman.
Oh right, yeah,
stuff
that was a big deal
that went on.
Yep.
And so we knew. I think everybody in the administration knew that when Pileman left, you know, retired and having been through the experience of all the stuff that had gone on with Dave Raffaro, councilman, and now Dave Raffaro mayor, we knew that whoever he chose to be police chief would be controversial and would probably ruffle some feathers. We knew the OD was probably not going to give him a pass on that one. So, you know, and knowing that there was a list of candidates already in place, everyone was kind of like, gee, how's this going to be handled? Listen, Dan LaBella was his close personal friend. We know that. But I don't think that should preclude someone from being appointed to right. a top position.
Do you think he was qualified for it?
You know, I don't really know his career or his record as a police officer. I think 20-something plus years as a police officer certainly gave him the ability to understand what's going on in the police department. Was he the best qualified on paper? Probably not. Mm-hmm. But listen, I don't think that the top test scorer should always be given the job.
Right.
Bottom line, it was the mayor's prerogative to appoint who he wanted to appoint. However, in retrospect, the issues that came out, you know, a special test, the wrong test, the whole thing, was it the best decision? Probably not.
We're speaking with Robert Sullivan, former Raffaro administration insider. I guess you would call that an insider.
Well, I mean, he's only got, you know, the mayor of the city of Utica has a very small circle of
yeah.
of department
heads. Handful.
That he can, right, right. His cabinet is very small, that he can rely on for day-to-day interaction and to kind of, you know, powwow with and try to figure out how we're going to run this city,
mm-hmm.
a city with incredible needs and concerns and that we all came to the table 4 years ago, you know, determined to make better. And I don't want to get lost on the LaBella thing. That didn't really affect the day-to-day operations of City Hall. But what I think it did is destabilize the administration and the mayor to the point where the constant barrage of attacks, I will be right up front with this. Many of the attacks, I think, were unfounded, unfair, and just downright mean. However, it is what it is mm-hmm. in government and in the world we live in today.
Yeah.
You know, we get attacked from all ends in all walks of life, no matter what we do, if it's even remotely public.
Do you think the OD was overly critical of the mayor? They labeled his administration, and this has stuck since through it, as the friends and family plan. And the mayor claimed that the OD was anti-Italian.
Listen, the OD, Dave Raffaro hired Angelo Raffaro, who was not his nephew.
Not his nephew.
He's like his third cousin.
Distantly related.
You know, okay, so he shares the same last name. Big deal.
Right.
Angelo Raffaro was one of the hardest working, brightest, best attributes yep. to that administration.
Who's now working for Senator Schumer.
Absolutely. Right, and Senator Schumer saw a good thing and grabbed him, and I think it was a great move. And Dan LaBella, yep, longtime friend, friend, not family member. But let's look at the entire docket of Oneida County, mm-hmm. you know, representatives at that time. Mike Arcuri, Roanne DeStito, Tony Pacenti. Listen, you know, Dave Raffaro, these people all grew up together. They're all about the same age. Everybody went to school. I went to school with Tony Pacenti. Yep. You know, we graduated together. We all know each other. And so to label every appointment that the mayor made back then as friends and family was unfair. And I think the OD had, at that time, kind of an agenda.
Their editor at the time, I believe, was Joe Kita,
yeah.
And he kind of made that into more of a tabloid approach.
Well, you know, and
that's what you heard a lot in the community is that people were unsatisfied with the way that the local newspaper was going.
Well, you know, we did some research at the time on Joe Kita because we wanted to know where he was from and who he was and where he came from. Mm-hmm. And the California newspaper that he left had a similar transformation when he ran it. They referred to it as hyper local tabloid trash.
Yeah.
And you can see, if you look at the tone of the Observer Dispatch back then, towards not only towards the mayor, but towards city government in general, and you look at it today, it's a completely different ballgame. I mean, you know, you don't see the virulent kind of hypercritical, you know, anti-city, anti-government, anti-Dave Raffaro.
Now, yeah, you know, the Dan Labella appointment is just, I thought, you know, we in the media talk to each other all the time about this. And it's the mayor's prerogative. He could point who he wants from the list.
Sure.
But the way it was handled, a lot of people, you know, especially in the media, were kind of thrown off by it because, you know, instead of coming out and saying, this is my guy, this is who I want, this is him, you guys can say whatever you want, this is my guy.
Have a party.
It was,
get the sheet cake.
It was a lot of, and being at that announcement it was somber. It wasn't very, like, a celebration. It was a very gloomy
affair. It was almost as if the appointment foretold the breakdown of the administration, which I think it's weird. I mean, I've been involved in government for over 20 years. It's kind of the weirdest event I've ever witnessed. And the outcome was really strange. I don't remember a mayor's appointment facing such incredible criticism as this one did. And as I've said, a lot of it unwarranted. Because, you know, I know Dan Labella. He's a good guy. He cares about the city. He's got a nice family, the whole nine yards. You know, what's the big deal? If this is the mayor's choice, and if he thinks that this guy can run the department, why not? Now, we later found out there were questions about qualifications and tests and all that stuff. But it goes back to the fact that we're so concerned about the details in this town, about who's going to do what, when, where, that we don't look at the big picture enough.
Yeah.
And the big picture is the police department being run right? Is the city safe? You know, do we have a good operation? And I think at the time we did, and I think we still do.
Now, it says in the article, which you can find at UticaPhoenix.net, and get there, and it's a great news source for local content. It says, the Renaissance city that Raffaro proudly proclaimed at his first mayor's ball at the Utica Public Library in January of 2008 was now seemingly becoming the business-as-usual city. Candidate Raffaro seemed to know exactly where he was going. Mayor Raffaro seemed lost once he got there, and the mayor was seen less at City Hall and more at his funeral business on Culver Ave. Give me the background to that. Why do you say that?
Well, because he was very... When he was there, he wasn't there. I mean, this was a guy in year one who was really engaged, who really understood or seemed to understand what it was that we wanted to do, what needed to happen in the city. And as the administration progressed and as the criticism from the OD began to become more virulent and more daily, he seemed to kind of check out. And it was almost like one of the things we talked about in year one was don't let the media control where you're going as an administration. And don't spend every day fighting the media.
You can't fight people by the barrel. Right.
And spend every day trying to make the city of Utica a better place to be and to live in. And let the media do what they're going to do.
Right.
You know, prove the worth of your administration by accomplishing good things. And in the first year or so, we kind of did that a lot. But then as it went on, you know, the administration got consumed in this Labella thing. It got consumed in the friends and family thing. And the mayor seemed to check out. You know, the Grow West debacle was very difficult for everyone involved, but it is what it is. You know, I said to the mayor once, did you run for mayor because you thought the city was so great that everything was in such great shape that you just wanted to be the steward? Or did you run for mayor because you realized the city was a mess, truly a mess, and it needed to be, you know, some caretaking done? And he agreed with me. The city was a mess. After 20 years that I've been around, I see the policies, the failed policies that have contributed to the decline that we're sitting in the middle of. And we thought that he also recognized that, but it seemed like he kind of checked out.
Speaking of the Grow West investigation, what's your take on the whole situation?
My take on...
What happened with Grow West?
Well, my take... Well, I don't want to give too much up because we... Cassandra,
I'm waiting for part three.
Part three is coming out,
and
I've been interviewed, but let me put it to you this way. Grow West was a situation that was bound to come out. It was bound to happen. It was just a matter of... who was going to be in charge of the mayor's office and of the department that I ran when it was finally exposed? And because I think Grow West was an agency, started out, if you read parts one and two in the Phoenix, you'll see that it's an agency that started out with much fanfare, a lot of support, did some great things, and ended up a mess.
Yeah.
And I think the bankruptcy, the the near bankrupt status of Grow West in 2008 when I got involved was what kind of foretold the situation. And I think the administration began by handling it in the right way, but I think the mayor almost backed away because I think he was afraid of the controversy. I think he was afraid that somehow he was going to be blamed for it, which is completely not the case,
right?
Because everything that happened with the Grow West meltdown happened prior to 2008. And we kept trying to, you know, convince him of that and show him, you know, the proof on paper that, hey, we were the whistleblowers. This administration, my office, my department, we're the people that uncovered this mess. We're not the ones that caused it. And so, unfortunately, I think he kind of became afraid of that as well.
Do you think the J.K. Hage report on the Grow West investigation was fair, or do you think it was more politically motivated?
You know, I got to work with J.K. and his staff, and I will tell you that that was an office that wasn't looking for political motivation. I mean, J.K. has no reason to make politics. He wanted to uncover what's going on, what was going on in a neighborhood, in an area that he's invested. You know, the guy's invested a couple $1 million in a building in downtown Utica on Genesee Street. He was outraged, rightfully so, that in the city that he's chosen to, you know, to invest in, this type of behavior, this type of activity was happening. I think J.K. did a great job. His staff did a great job. Not only did they uncover the Grow West situation for what it was, but they also helped the city keep its $4 million HUD allocation that was in serious jeopardy of being pulled because of all the shenanigans of previous administrations. And so I think the city of Utica owes J.K. and his staff a great debt.
Plus a couple thousand dollars.
Then, listen, let's... You know, nobody ever brought up... Why don't they go out and do an accounting of all the outside legal... law firms that they've brought in over the years, the hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars that they've spent on outside law firms to do things like negotiate union contracts and all the stuff that goes along with, you know, with city government. You know, you had three lawyers up on the second floor. They can't possibly handle the amount of law work that's needed in a $68 million a year corporation, which is basically what the city of Utica is.
So do you think that it was the report named Tim Julian and current comptroller Mike Seminaro as kind of the problem in this situation?
You know, I mean, I wouldn't lay the mantle of blame entirely on the former mayor or the current comptroller, but you got to say to yourself, well, they were there.
Right.
They were in play. You know, they were in charge. This happened under their, you know, if you subscribe to the buck stops here mentality, if you're the guy in charge and this is happening while you're there, you know, you got to take, there's some culpability there. So, you know, but I would say that the primary blame should rest on the employees, the executive directors, the board members of Grow West. And, you know, that's the entity that really shoulders most of the blame.
You're on with Robert Sullivan. Go ahead.
Hey, good morning. Bob, in your opinion, why did the mayor fire you?
I'm sorry, could you, I didn't have my earphones on, so
one
if,
more time
if
for
you
me.
Could repeat that.
Yeah, why were you fired by the mayor, in your opinion?
You know what? That's a good question. I try to figure out not why I was terminated, but why the three of us were terminated in such a dramatic and unexpected and unprecedented fashion.
I mean, you're telling me that you have no idea?
Well,
just one day you walked into work and you were fired and you're totally puzzled.
Oh, completely puzzled because, in fact, 2 days before we were fired, the mayor and I were in his office talking about, you know, a lot of the projects we were working on, and he was saying, you know, I'm really excited about some of the stuff. Now you're not.
Let me interrupt. The mayor wouldn't even give you, after all your work with the city, give you some accommodation to let you know, Bob, you weren't doing a good job, in my opinion, so I'm asking you to leave.
Never.
He wouldn't even suggest to you why you were fired. I mean, what kind of human being?
Well, because he knew that.
Fire somebody, not even give him a reason.
Listen, I got to tell you something, and I gave my all to this job. You know, I was usually the first one in the office and the last one to leave, and because I believe in and love the city. The mayor knew he could not tell me I wasn't doing a good job because he knows I did the job that I was hired to do. And the proof is in the developments that I helped, you know, that I helped stimulate.
Well, it's just shocking to me that he wouldn't give you some type of reason. Just turn his back on you and say, go. And another question.
Yeah.
Why do they feel it necessary to have a police escort?
Well, that's a really good point.
And that was one thing that when we all heard it in the media that your sister and Paul Mary were escorted out by police, that's when everybody was like, whoa, come on. Because you were with him right in the beginning. And it seemed like it didn't make sense.
Let me tell you this. My sister and I and Rob Paul Mary and the mayor share many, many common friends.
We
go to the same events. We have to see each other a lot. Listen, if he wanted to be fair to the three of us as long time, I mean, Robbie and my sister, you know, over 25 years each. I've been involved in government on and off for 20 years. You know, bring us in an office, sit us down and say, look, it's not going right. This is what I want to do. I want to change things. But we didn't really hear a reason. Any other reason than everyone else heard was the reason that he gave to the media, I'm going in a new direction. Now, in retrospect, after his announcement of a couple of weeks ago, we know the direction he's going in, you know, right out of City Hall. So I think that decision not to run again is indicative of the breakdown of his administration, as evidenced by the crazy termination of the three of us and then ending in him deciding not to run.
Can you?